All right, welcome back to the HUD Post podcast. My name is James De Los Santos, and I have a special guest. My guest back in 2020 challenged the political system in Congress, and although his campaign was unsuccessful, it is often cited as the birth of the progressive movement in Hudson County. My next guest, Hoster Oseguera.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate you, man.
Of course. Thanks for being on. Today's an important day, I think. The Jersey City election showed the appetite of what Hudson County is looking for the future. And I think you're super instrumental in that movement. So I'd love to get your initial reactions to the election results and how you're feeling.
Yeah, man. And thank you, bro. I definitely appreciate that. Like putting mad sauce on it because it's been a while. And, you know, this movement definitely predates me. But I like to think of myself as someone who participated in it. And when I ran, I would say that it wasn't about one race or one election. It was about getting a movement going. And I think with last night's results, we've seen that movement has finally arrived. And, you know, a lot of people talk about New York City, and you had AOC in New York City. You just had the election with Mamdani. And a lot of people have been asking, you know, we're right across the river from them. Why do they seem to have this very extensive left-wing network of radicals, and we seem to be lacking in that regard? Like, we don't have that progressive energy taking hold. And I used to tell people, we do. We just had something holding us back. You know, it was the line before. It's the machine generally. And that's why, for the most part, we're not running against other Republicans for the most part. Mm-hmm. For the most part, the struggle here in Hudson County is running against other Democrats who are not fulfilling what we believe the Democratic Party or the left-wing side of American politics should look like. And we used to tell people there's an appetite for it. It just doesn't have a lane to express itself because of the mechanics, the machine, the line. Now that power system seems to be struggling, you see that people will choose us. When you have, you know, you could tie it back to the Mikey Sherrill election, like you, and even before that, Andy Kim's election. This has been a slow growth of energy over a couple election cycles, where you see that there is an activist base, a left wing activist base in the state of New Jersey that wants to express itself through electoral politics, and we've seen it. We saw a touchdown yesterday in Hoboken and in Jersey City. And at this point, there's no denying it. And after Trump was reelected, there was this talk of, oh, the gains that he made, how Latino males are going for Trump. And you can see that narrative has completely fallen apart in New Jersey. In Hudson County, Union City was often cited as a place where Trump got a lot of Latino males to vote for him. Well, guess what? Those people are also voting for, apparently, James Solomon, Jake Efros, and Joel Brooks, you know, people who are card-carrying DSA members.
Understood. So I know you said, you know, that there were a lot of things holding back the progressive movement as the line. So I'd like to talk about the line. I know that was a big topic. And tell me how you feel like the line, you know, changed the dynamics of electoral politics, especially in Hudson County.
Yeah, so you could just look at this past election, where in the 32nd district, you had Ravi Bala and Katie Brennan running what would be off the line candidacies. And you could see how they dominated. There's been research into how much better candidates did this election cycle without the line previous to any other election cycle. So now we don't have that structural barrier keeping, you know, let's say in a prior election where Ravi and Katie Brennan run, but there's a line structure, you could easily see, you know, an outcome where they didn't win under that system. So now we see people really, you know, challenging the system and coming out successful, given that you're not being held back by some of these structural barriers.
Understood. So where do you see, you know, Hudson County moving now? So I know, you know, now we're having these progressive candidates coming into office, but we still have the HCDL, which seems to now be changing in its own way. So do you see the two parties merging, or those two are there, or not officially, but do you see them aligning as far as policy wise, or is it still a split between party machine versus progressive?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to wait and see, I think. And I think that the answer is really up to the HCDO. Like, what are they going to do? Are they going to welcome the new voices in, or are they going to try to hold on to what's left of their power structure? You know, I think that it's going to be more and more difficult. And if you see the writing on the wall, you know, like, I think that they should understand things have changed. Mm-hmm. This is a different world now. You know, it's not that they're unimportant. It's not that their system, the fundraising, the base that they have is not important, but there's a new expression. Like, there's the political winds have changed, mm-hmm. and the people are expressing themselves differently. And I think that, you know, they should be more open to seeing how things are going. Like, it's not like the machine system falls apart overnight, right? Mm-hmm. But they have to see what happened in Jersey City last night. They have to see what happened in Hoboken last night. They have to understand that Katie Brennan and Ravi, you know, there are so many people being elected now that as far as I know these people and as far as I've interacted with them, they're not just going to be another part of that system. Mm-hmm. They are going to, you know, exert independence. And, you know, this is what I'm hoping for, right? Like, I'm putting what I believe onto them to some extent. But, you know, James Solomon, I've had many interactions with Jake Efros, Joel Brooks. I know them very well. Katie Brennan, I know pretty well. I've had a lot of interactions with Ravi, with Emily. I think that these are all very good people. This is the day that we've been waiting for. Like, 5 years ago on election night, when I knew that I had not been successful, you know, in my heart, I was saying, you know, yeah, this doesn't feel good right now, but one day this work, you will see the fruits of your labor. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, you know, I'm not putting my work on any of them. Like, they did their own work to get themselves elected, and they had to put themselves out there. They had to raise the money. They had to bring in the volunteers. But it certainly feels like last night was the natural outgrowth of something that I participated in way back when in 2020. And it feels good. And I'm really glad. I think progressives all across Hudson County are celebrating today. We feel amazing. You know, again, Andy Kim was a beacon of light. The Mikey Sherrill election, again, I think many of us were kind of scared and worried about how that election would go, and she won pretty decisively. And now we have the results in Jersey City and Hoboken, and I think people are really seeing, like, the direction. You know, many people were afraid of what resistance to what's happening in Washington looks like on a local level. You know, there's a huge difference between Trump 1.0 and Trump 2.0. And I think a lot of people, if we look at national politics, Hakeem Jeffries gets a lot of criticism these days for being sort of the atypical, the person who's not fighting for the people. And now we see the sort of total opposite here, like with people like Mamdani and now people like James Solomon. I think we're going to see a whole different type of what you would call resistance to what's happening in Washington on a local level. And I think people like me are very happy. We're super excited, and I can't wait to see where this goes right now.
For sure. So I definitely want to jump into your run in 2020 and talk about that, because, you know, like, as I said in the beginning, I credit you for really birthing the progressive movement in Hudson County. I saw the start of the Progressive Democrats of Hudson County organization rise. I've seen many people run after you and now start to build off of that base that you had created. But I know you also said this predates you. So where do you think the progressive movement in Hudson County, where does that story start?
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's hard to pin it on one exact moment or anything, but I think that there have always been organizers. And I think that after Trump was elected the first time in 2016, a lot of those people started to feel like they needed to get together and organize. And, you know, there were a lot of groups that spun out when Trump was elected the first time. And I think I also credit sort of like my organizing birth to that time period of, like, that's when I started to get, you know, I'd always been curious in politics, but that's when I really got more curious into what other people might be doing in that space. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in Hudson County, we're kind of safe here. Like I said, you know, like, we're not really running against Republicans. You know, like, I often use this like when I'm sort of clowning on the 10 Republicans in Hudson County, I tell them that I lost my race. And in my race, I got more votes losing than any Republican gets in a general election. And I ran in a primary. So I got more votes losing in a primary than a Republican will get in a general election. Mm-hmm. That shows you how few Republicans there are around here. And, you know, I think that because people think of politics as Democrat and Republican, and everybody here is a Democrat, it's very hard for somebody like me to break through in that time period when there's a line. Because I'm trying to tell people, oh, yeah, I'm a Democrat too, but not like those guys, not like the guys that you're always voting for. And that message, it resonated with people, especially when people are looking for something new or a different direction. But structurally, it was very difficult trying to raise money, trying to bring organizers, trying to just get your infrastructure going, the things that you need on a regular basis, just getting like cards printed out or literature printed out. It becomes an issue because people who print around here don't want to print for the other guy. You know what mm-hmm, I'm saying?
Exactly.
And what that looks like in Hudson County. But it's like just very basic things are difficult to do because if you're not with them, people don't want to mess with you. And now I think we've cracked that open. Like, I think I was in some ways, I guess I was the first one to sort of like stand up and say, like, don't be afraid to be the other guy. Don't mm-hmm. be afraid to say, yeah, I'm a Democrat, but not like them. And like you said, there have been a lot of elections subsequent to that. I think that in every single election subsequent to that in Hudson County, we've really tried to push the line, whether it's on the county committee, whether it's in the county commissioner seats. And a lot of the time, you know, we come close, but we still lose. You know what I'm saying? And that's sort of been the frustration of the progressive movement is that we've come but so close, but not close enough. And yesterday you saw the bottle, you know, the top come off the bottle. And, you know, it was very decisive. It was decisive all across. Mm-hmm. James Solomon is going to go in as mayor of Jersey City with all the other members of the council being on his team. Emily Jabour, I think, is in a similar situation where I think that the three at-large candidates were the candidates that had run with her, if I'm not mistaken. So you know, people are showing that there really was an appetite for that progressive brand of politics. Us being so blue, we don't have to be sort of conservative with a lowercase c about our values. Another flashpoint for me, as I know you remember, were the ICE protests in Hudson mm-hmm. County. Where I'm not protesting Republicans who are supporting ICE. I'm protesting Democrats who are supporting ICE. And that brand of Democratic politics, I think, has fallen apart. And like we were talking about earlier, like, what is the HCDO going to do? I think it would be to their detriment to ignore what's going on. Because we're now truly ascendant. Like, it's not like we're the up-and-coming guy. Like, now we've arrived at the moment where it's becoming too obvious, too much of a power system. Like, if you wanted me to throw out some predictions, you know, I would say that the congressman might be a little worried about what kind of candidates might come mm-hmm. from the congressional seat next time around, because things are looking, you know, pretty dire from that perspective. If you're running as a progressive, if you're coming at it from, you know, we should stand on our values and we really should fight for what we're talking about. You know, I think that sort of politics is really having its moment, and the people who speak to that desire are going to be very successful in the years to come.
Now, let's talk about the ICE protest that you spoke about, where you said you were protesting against other Democrats. The chairman at the time of the Freeholders or Commissioners, I'm not sure what year that title changed, but that person ended up now endorsing a Republican candidate.
Right.
So do you think that you really were running against other Democrats, or are they what we call dinos, the Democrat in name only?
Yeah. I mean, and there's a phrase I've heard from a lot of people in Hudson County and in North Bergen specifically, where this person is from, is that they are Democrats locally, but Republicans nationally. So mm-hmm. yeah, everybody in the secret is that everybody in Hudson County is a registered Democrat, because the Republican, and even you would understand the Republican Party in Hudson County, to a large part, works underneath the HCDO and with the Democrats at many times. So it's almost like the Republicans are a third party. So those people, if you have conservative beliefs, if you're a Trump supporter in Hudson County, but you want to sit in elected office, you have to be a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we were talking about, is that there are people who have to be Democrats because they want to wield power. But if you press them to the values that they're holding on to, you would not be a Democrat in any other part of the country. It just so happens to be that in Hudson County, you have to be a Democrat to hold elected office because it's all Democrats here. So to an extent, like, yeah, I understand what you're saying, like dinos, but also that is what the Democratic establishment was made of.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you be a dino if you literally are the seat of power? You are the chairman of the commissioners, the county government, and you're a Democrat. Like, and I think that, like you said, he just endorsed a Republican candidate for governor. So the mask is coming off.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not because they want to. It's because in some ways they're being forced to. You understand that whole situation, it was kind of like a spark in a turf war that's happening in Hudson County politics. And
nuanced that you have to understand local right. politics to even understand what is happening there.
Right. So, and I mean, the Brian Stack, Nick Sacco war, mm-hmm. It was a proxy war of that with, you know, obviously Mikey Sherrill being very close with Brian Stack. And so Nick Sacco has to go to the other side, you know, and the fact that their politics align, you know, I think makes it a lot easier, obviously. But in another year, that might not have happened if it wasn't part of this proxy war that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that, I think, is contributing to the ascendant nature of progressives. Like, as the old guard is kind of fighting amongst themselves, we're picking up the pieces and we're really rising to the moment. And you know, I think it speaks really well to like what is coming. I think that, again, in the coming elections, you're going to see more of this, and those candidates will be less afraid. Like, you know, people like me, I had to tread carefully, and you know what I'm talking about. We had to tread carefully because you don't know how people are going to react to you. We have now two socialists on Jersey City Council, not playing about it. DSA card carrying socialists. So this has changed dramatically. And like I said, I think that this is the moment that we were always waiting for. And now we're here.
Sure. Yeah. So I want to ask about the outgoing mayor, Fulop. Depending on if you use Google, ChatGPT, if you ask who's the first progressive mayor of Jersey City, it'll show you Stephen Fulop. Given what we talked about, the proxy war between Brian Stack and Nick Sacco and Stephen Fulop being involved and him not actually putting out an endorsement out there, picking either side, was he a progressive mayor?
You know, I think it depends on who you ask, right? I mean, I would have my criticisms. I went up against him several times and he knows that. And there were times where I did, you know, this is the thing about progressive politics that I think people don't understand, is that it's not about the personality. It's not about Stephen Fulop, do I like him or not? It'll be like, on this policy, did he do the right thing or did he not do the right thing? If he did the right thing, well, I'm going to sing your praises. If you didn't do the right thing, well, I'm going to criticize you. And that's basically how it goes. And that's what I feel like the old system got too much of, like, the personality thing. Like, if you're with this person, you're with this person. No matter what they do, it doesn't matter what they do, you're with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And in this world, we're now opening it up to saying, like, well, I'm going to evaluate you based on your, like, crit, on your score. Like, what did mm-hmm. you do? And in a lot of ways, I try to not stick my foot in a place, like, I don't live in Jersey City, right? So I try to not say, like, oh, did this person do right or do wrong by Jersey City? I might have my view of it, but as an outsider, I'm not the one to make that call. So I would ask a progressive in Jersey City, it was full of a progressive or not a progressive mayor, because those people were the ones who were more on the ground with it. You know, I might have a skewed view one way or another. And I, like, a lot of times I'll say this, I had people ask me, oh, why didn't you make an endorsement in the Jersey City mayor? Why didn't you make an endorsement for the Hoboken mayor? And I tell people that, like, I don't live there. It's weird for me to tell you vote for this person and I can't vote for them myself.
Mm-hmm.
So Jake, I don't know if people know this or not, Jake was one of the people arrested with me during the ICE protest.
Mm-hmm.
So like, how could I, if my endorsement, if he would have asked me to, or if it would have meant something, of course I would have given him my endorsement. I shared a jail cell with him, but for me to not be able to vote for him myself, I think it's weird for me to try to influence somebody who can vote for him. Like, the best I could do is say good things about him and tell you my experiences with him. But it's hard for me to like say, oh, can you should vote for him. I can't vote for him, but you should. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know,
Here's a good question. Do endorsements matter?
What happened?
Do endorsements matter?
I don't think so anymore. I don't think so. And I'll say it, they're nice and they're really nice to have because it's something that you can show. But at the end of the day, in politics, you can't transfer your support. And I think Brian Stack is the perfect example of this. In Union City, if Brian Stack were to tell everybody, this person is the next Brian Stack, and now you got to go with this person, they would not a single person would do it. Mm-hmm. Not a single person would do it. You can't make people like the next person just because you like them. Like and I've had this conversation a lot in Union City. Like Brian Stack is a singular figure. Mm-hmm. You know, people like him for him. He couldn't transfer that to somebody else. It doesn't work that way. So I think endorsements are nice because it helps somebody feel like, oh, well, I'm comfortable with this person. And if they're comfortable with them, maybe I'm a little better about it. But I really don't think that it matters that much anymore. I think it's just part of like the way that we do politics, that you want a group or a person to say like, oh, please, to their supporters, go with this person. Mm-hmm. It's just not that simple, honestly, in all reality. It's not that simple.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up. You know, I know you have somewhere to be, but I guess I know you gave me a small prediction about Congress, you know, coming up. But big picture, what do you think the progressives of Hudson County are working on? What are things that they're fighting for? And, you know, what should we be looking out for?
Yeah, and I think it's going to be, like I said, a lot more of the same. Like in every election, there's going to be progressive candidates who are challenging the incumbent. I think that's going to be maybe didn't start with me, and it's going to continue on to the future. There are going to be challenged races, and I think people are going to be pushing the agenda for what people in Hudson County really want. And you're going to see some of these candidates actually be successful. You know, Ron Bautista, I think, is already running in the 5th district. And, you know, I think he has a good chance of being very successful in that race. I think others will jump in to challenge other people. Like I said, I think in the congressional seat, you're going to see maybe a very lively race. But I think that the progressive movement is finally here. I think all 10 Republicans in Hudson County should be very afraid, because it's only going to get worse from here for you guys. Like this is, you know, as the country moves maybe further right, the places that are blue are going to move further left to protect what they have. So things like sanctuary cities, getting ICE out of here, affordable housing, infrastructure, public transit, these issues that people have, like me, have been talking about for a long time, I think are finally going to have their moment. And I think people are going to start to realize that they actually like it when government works effectively, when the buses run on time, when the train is on time, when there are no potholes in the street. I think people are going to come to realize that they really like a society where the public schools are very high quality and people care about these sorts of things that under other governments or under other administrations you've seen gutted because they don't bring money to the big boss, you know. But I think we're going to see a different type of politics, and I think it's going to be very positive. I'm very happy. And I said, I think all 10 Republicans in Hudson County should be very scared.